snarky snippets jabbing at the disciples, a hurried feel using the word immediately 40 times, a no-nonsense, get-straight-to-the-point narrative, and its unapologetic economy of words. I love you, Gospel of Mark. Given the characteristics of this gospel that we read from today, it's surprising that the writer of the Gospel of Mark dedicates a big chunk, 15 verses, to the beheading of John the Baptist. 15 verses with only one tiny mention of Jesus. 15 verses that seem completely off topic of the Jesus movement. So why does he devote so much attention to the story of a violent end of a prophet? Well, you could say that this account of John's execution grounds our gospel in history. Bringing in real historical figures gives our gospel a time and a place and a validity in some way. Certainly, this story tracks with other gospels and historical writings from Josephus. But Mark's gospel is smart and skillful, and it's packed with a message. And there is something more to the story other than to just set the historical stage. As you can imagine, there are lots of learned people who weigh in on this subject. Caroline Lewis, one of my favorite theologians, I think really gets to the essence of this passage and the Gospel of Mark itself, because she says that Mark's gospel is all about Jesus exposing the duplicity and hypocrisy of kingdoms and empires which we are supposed to pledge allegiance, because here is a story that reveals just how dysfunctional and distorted perceived power can be. It's an important warning at this point in the gospel. After all, we are over halfway through Jesus' public ministry. Now is the time and the place to know the truth, that what Jesus has come to challenge, upend, question, is those persons and those empires who rule by and uphold values completely antithetical to the inbreaking of God's kingdom in Jesus. This passage shows us John the Baptist critically pointing to Herod Antipas and his behavior that was everything but welcoming the kingdom of God. Antipas's power over his land was always a little in question. He fought his siblings for his position, and he finally even took his brother's wife, Herodias. And stealing his brother's wife was truly scandalous, and the Jews in the kingdom were horrified. John the Baptist loudly criticized this marriage, and he offered passages to back him up from Leviticus. According to Mark, Antipas' arrest of John was because of pressure from his wife. She despised John and she really wants him executed, but Antipas is hesitant to do so because he sees John as a holy man. His attraction to John's light, however, is put out when Antipas throws a birthday party for himself, at which he promises half of his kingdom to his stepdaughter in front of all of his drunken friends. And Herodias tells the girl to ask for John the Baptist's head instead. And at this point, Antipas will be publicly embarrassed if he refuses her request, so he gives the order and John the Baptist is executed. Preservation of power one-ups any hint of righteousness. So smack dab in the middle of the gospel stories of Jesus' ministry, we are hit with this verse today. And I believe it's for the reason of a warning. A warning about the systems and power brokers that are antithetical to Jesus, to the gospel, to the kingdom of God. John the Baptist got tangled up with such power, and he was killed. Jesus soon, as we go on in the Gospel of Mark, will get tangled up with such power, and he too will be killed. So how do we take this warning in Mark out of the pages and into our lives? We are still waiting for the kingdom, are we not? And today, just like 2,000 years ago, there are institutions and systems, including the church itself at times, powerful rulers, wealthy and influential persons, and systems that stand in the way of God's kingdom? Are we as followers of Jesus in a modern world still responsible for speaking out about misappropriations of power and miscarriages of justice? Are we to acknowledge our own accountability and hold others to the responsibility of their actions? I truly believe that we can't casually read this gospel today and sweep it under the rug without asking ourselves how our witness, how our examples, how our Christian truths risk getting our own heads on a platter. The gospel is dangerous. It is love. And it is also about risking everything for that love. Love of righteousness and justice and love of our neighbor and love of our enemies, love of our God and love of God's creation. 30 years ago, in June of 1988, NASA scientist James Hansen told the U.S. Senate committee that he was 99% certain that there was a direct connection between human activities, the growing concentration of atmospheric pollutants, and a warming climate. Hansen faced opposition even before his testimony. One of his colleagues told him that morning of his presentation that no respectable scientist would claim that the world is warming. And he faced subsequent meddling and censorship from the government administration at the time. He since criticized presidents on both sides of the aisle for not doing enough, for not listening, for not acting. He's retired now, but he has devoted himself to raising awareness about our environment. Yet he's still called a tragic hero because he knows the truth, but as of yet, he's unable to persuade people to do something about it immediately. Yet James Hansen is still out there at age 77, confident that there is still time to right the wrongs. He continues to speak out against powers of fossil fuel companies, which, despite being well aware of the dangers of climate change, have funded the work of lobbyists that ridicule the science. He's been jailed. He's been ostracized for spreading the urgent message and its solutions. He says he does this because we owe it to our children and our grandchildren. But I would say that as Christians, that we owe it to the tenets of our faith, to honor and value God's creation in the face of those that resist the coming of the kingdom and only honor the power of profit. As in Jesus' time today, there are resistances to the gospel, a gospel that preaches love of our neighbor, God, and God's creation. We need a good shaking from Mark's gospel of immediacy. We need to be reminded that Christianity is not always comfortable. Following Christ demands truth that sometimes comes at a price. Truth is risky. Jesus and John the Baptist before him were willing to risk it all to face down the powers who ruled by and upheld values completely antithetical to the inbreaking of God's kingdom. As members of the Jesus movement, we realize the deep well from which we can draw courage and stamina to tell God's truth in our own words and actions and keep telling it. The good news is right here. We have it. We know it to be true. There is power in faith that keeps working against the most powerful systems until God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We must point the way of the risen Christ in truth until God's kingdom comes.